Little bit. We're discussing, last week we discussed the connection between the mitzvot and meditation. Right? You remember that? So we said that the word for mitzvah comes from the word tzavta. Tzadi vav taf alef in Aramaic. Tzavta, language which is contained to the Hebrew tzevet. A tzevet is a group. Right? So a mitzvah is something, a connector. It connects a person to Hashem. That's mitzvah. Pshat of mitzvah, the Baal Shem Tov says. A mitzvah means a connection. A connection between who and who? A person who does the mitzvah and Hashem. So the connection between man and God is built by a mitzvah. A person does a mitzvah, it connects. The purpose of doing a mitzvah is to connect Hashem to a person. So interesting. So the Zohar describes the Torah ordinances, all the mitzvot. 613 different paths to attach to Hashem. 613 different paths to attach to Hashem. So, 613 different paths to attach to Hashem. Any thought or action which is done for Hashem is a mitzvah. It's one of the 613 things. So it's anything you do for Hashem, which is holy, obviously, which is good, the Vilna Gaon says, we'll fit it into some kind of mitzvah. It's part of a mitzvah. Anything which is good you do for Hashem must be a mitzvah. Which one? We have 630 choices. They will fit in somewhere. You do something good, which is for Hashem, it's a mitzvah which will fit into something. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. So therefore, Torah and mitzvot, a lifetime meditation on God. A person learns Torah. A person does mitzvot, they're meditating on God. When you're learning the Torah, it's so powerful. The Ramban says, the words of the Torah are names of God. We just can't read them. We just don't know how to put them together. They're all names of God. God put together His names, and His names make the Torah. Right? So the Torah is names of God. When a person learns the Torah, they're attached to God. When a person does mitzvot, it's very hard to think about this all the time. A person that says the bracha. So the bracha attaches us to Hashem. Baruch atah Hashem. Hashem Kedishan, You sanctified me. I want to be closer to You. What's sanctification? I want to be closer to God. I want to be holy like God. That's the idea, to attach to Hashem. So it creates a divine bond, a bond of attachment. And that is one of the purposes of the mitzvot. To attach, using the mitzvah. So using the physical to attach to the spiritual. It's amazing, tremendous idea. So how do you transcend the material world? How do you take the material world and make it transcend and make it higher, make it elevated? And the answer is you take a material thing, you take the building blocks and you build the Beit Midrash. Amazing idea. Amazing concept. You just transform the building blocks into a holy space. You take the cloth and the material, make it into a chair and use it to study Torah. You take and make it into a table. You make the tree into a table for learning Torah. You take the calf skin and make it into a parchment. You're transforming something mundane into something holy. That's an amazing concept. You take the food and make a bracha on it. You just transformed a burger into something holy, hopefully. You transformed it into something holy. You transformed it into a vehicle of service of Hashem. So that's a very, very important concept. It's a very massive, it's a powerful concept. In fact, we should think of ourselves as we are factories for transforming the spiritual, the physical into the spiritual. Right? It's the opposite of atom bombs. Well, it's like atom bombs in a sense. Atom bombs take the material and make it into energy. We take the material and make it into spirituality. Right? It's a different kind of bomb. It's a different Vadibharta bomb. It's a Vadibharta bomb. It's the way of transforming the physical into spiritual. So how do we do that? How do you transform the physical into spiritual? By taking the physical and doing a mitzvah with it. So Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu. Machzid HaShekel. He said, Hashem, Moshe says, I don't know how to make this coin. I'll show you a coin of fire. He showed him a vision, the Midrash says, a vision of a coin of fire. And from the fire, the menorah. He showed him a menorah and fire. He didn't know how to make a menorah. It's complicated, make those branches. He didn't understand it. It's like a tree. I'll show you a menorah of fire. What do you mean, menorah of fire? I'll show you the spiritual menorah, for then you learn out the physical. Imagine, we look at the physical and try and make the physical spiritual. Hashem looks at the spiritual size and said, this is how you make the physical. So Bezalel was such a massive Kabbalist because he designed the Mishkan based on the worlds above. If you can understand the worlds above, you can understand the structure of the Mishkan. all the dimensions of the Mishkan. Different dimensions. The outside and then the courtyard, and then you go a little bit more in. It's going through four different worlds. And you get to finally get to the highest level, which is Aron HaKodesh, between the Kruvim of Hashem. And so Baruch Hu, it's like an expression of the different worlds. So it takes a lot of so we just see the physical aspect. We don't see the spiritual going, becoming physical. So Hashem looks at the other way. Hashem looks at the spiritual, and it goes becoming physical, and we have to take that physical and transform it back into spirit. That's our mission. Take the physical and transform it back into spiritual. It's so hard. It's so hard. So a person says, you know, I got extra money. What do I do with it? So you have so many things to make it spiritual. Try and make that money spiritual. Just buy a house in Israel. So instead of buying a house over here, buy a house in Israel. Much more spiritual already. You're helping Israel. Mitzvah, you should be Israel. You just made it spiritual. So even if you don't want to give it all to Tzedakah, so do it for yourself, but buy it in Israel. You know, invest in Israel. Do something. Do something which will help. Do a mitzvah.
Does that make it harder for the people living in Israel by raising the...
Whatever it is. No, they're lucky. You know why they're lucky? Because they bought many years ago. It's the young crowd who are tough. It's tough for the young crowd, but they go to Yeshuvim. They go to a place which is a new neighborhood. Listen. And they buy over there. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has to live in the big cities. There's no room in the big cities anymore. Yes.
There are 17 billionaires in Israel.
17?
Billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
So they're special because they have all this money in Israel?
I don't know if it's in Israel. I don't know where it is. They live in Israel. Yeah. Hopefully they're using it to grow the country. It depends what they're doing with the money. But anyway, the taxes are definitely going to Israel. And that's helping Israel for sure. Their taxes are helping Israel. It's helping the economy. So we're paying taxes over here, but we could be paying taxes in Israel. So when a person pays tax in Israel, you got to think, I'm doing a mitzvah. I'm helping the country. Even when a person pays taxes over here, because a portion of the taxes goes to $3 billion goes to Israel. A year. Don't tell anyone. And therefore, a person should say, when they're paying their tax check, or whatever it is, this money is allocated for the money that goes to Israel. Or this money is going allocated for the social security programs for the poor. This way you're doing a mitzvah with your money. Mm-hmm. So instead of going to the army or the air force, or whatever, maybe, I don't know, that's a mitzvah, or whatever. It could be. It could be, it depends who you're fighting. If you're fighting Nazis, you're definitely doing a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Torah and mitzvot are a lifetime meditation. In other words, it's able, you can transform Torah and Mitzvah into a lifetime meditation. You know the Pasuk of Torah. How is that going to bring me closer to God? What is this Pasuk telling me in terms of my connection to God? It's very important. So like we just said, we mentioned that Pasuk, right? Don't do that. Don't destroy the idols, but don't do that to God. What do you mean, don't do that to God? I'll destroy. So Rashi says, don't destroy the Beit HaMikdash. Oh, a Jew's going to destroy the Beit HaMikdash? No, it's what you do that causes destruction. Imagine how to internalize that. I do an Avera, I just delayed the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Boy, that wasn't my intention. I don't even think about it. But that's how a Jew should think even deeper, and think, you know, that how does this action I'm doing affect the spiritual world? It doesn't seem to affect the physical world. Does it have an effect at all? We believe it has. We believe even thoughts have an effect in the spiritual worlds. In fact, according to Kabbalah, we said the thoughts are the most important thing. Interesting. Thoughts are the most important thing. Thoughts can damage much higher worlds than action, because action is based on the lower world. Asiya, Allah Masiya. Whereas thoughts are the highest level, which we're going to talk about. So the pathways of meditation are through the Torah. The pathways of meditation are through the mitzvot. How many people attach themselves to God through the mitzvah? What a powerful idea. What a brilliant idea. And the binding of your hand. I mean, men, we do it every day. We bind ourselves. The first thing, I'm binding myself to God's name. I mean, we just, so early in the morning, it's hard to think about it. Binding yourself. You see afterwards the straps, marks on your hand. Uh-huh. And on your head, you see the hair, the hairstyle. It's changed. It's got a little furrow in the hair. What are we trying to do? We're trying to bind ourselves to Hashem. So you light the Shabbat candles. What are you trying to do? You're trying to bring light into the world. You bring God's light into the world. It's very powerful. Very powerful. So that's the way we bind ourselves to God. Every mitzvah enables us. Mitzvah of mezuzah. It's unfortunate. We're so used to it. Even walking down the street sometimes you see a lot of mezuzah. Thank God. Depends where you go. But if you go to a place where there's no mitzvot, then you'll suddenly, if you work in a place, there's no mitzvot. When you come to a place where there is, you'll say, wow, now I appreciate more. See, mitzvot. So mitzvot is passing God's name. That person should meditate. The Rambam says, every time you pass a mitzvot, you should meditate on Hashem. Who has time for that? Can you imagine? Every time you pass a mitzvot, you've got to stop, think. Hashem is in the world. It's Hashem in the world. Pass another mitzvot. Hashem's in the world. It's going to slow you down really a lot. Go through a whole building with mitzvot. So it's a very powerful idea. So each mitzvah has a meditative process that unites one to the Ein Sof. You know, there's a book called Shara Kavanot, the book of Kavanot, of concentration, where the Arizal goes through mitzvot and tells you the reason behind the mitzvot, tells you the concentration behind the mitzvot, what are you trying to do by doing the mitzvah? What are we trying to do in the worlds above? It's amazing. These mitzvot have real power and effects in the worlds above. How? So we have no idea what's going on. Simple Jews just do mitzvot simply. And Hashem uses their thoughts to do things in the world above. So it's very powerful. Just a simple, pure thought is a very powerful thing. Hashem takes that thought and does amazing things in the world above with those thoughts. So simple thoughts. A person does something, a mitzvah in the Shem Shemayim, it's worth a lot. A person does a mitzvah with gusto, it's worth a lot. A person does a mitzvah with happiness, it's worth a lot. Tremendous amount. Even without the meditation behind it. And that's why the Ben Ish Chai writes in the L'Shem Yehud to add a line. Kiilu kivanti b'chol ha'kavanot ha'riyot b'zeh. Make it as if I thought all the thoughts that I should be thinking when I do this mitzvah. Make it as if, Hashem, you make it as if I'm thinking the thoughts that are fit to when I do this mitzvah. Even the biggest Kabbalists have to say that. Why? Because they don't know all the thoughts in a mitzvah. No one knows. So mitzvot can involve our entire beings. How many people do mitzvah with all their soul, with all their emotions, with all their intellect, uniting the consciousness and the essence? How many people do that? Do the mitzvah with all my soul. And we say the pasuk, right? We have to Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nefeshecha v'chol me'odecha. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Now you can unify all three in a mitzvah. So number one is I'm paying money for this mitzvah. That's me'odecha. I'm serving God with my money. My money comes from my work, and I'm sacrificing my life for my work. I'm working hard, so that's my soul. And why am I doing this? Because I love Him. So I'm uniting all three elements in the mitzvah. Especially, I find the hardest mitzvah is lulav. Because what is it? A piece of stick? What is it? A stick? I'm buying a stick. What am I getting out of a stick? And then it's only for 7 days. It's disposable. I throw it out. What kind of mitzvah is that? And you know what? You got to pay. It depends where you are. Depends what you want. You get what you pay for. Hopefully you get what you pay for. It's hard to know. It's hard mitzvah to do. Why? Because it's disposable. And it's a piece of, what is it? It's a tree, branches. I'm buying branches and a citron. A lemon which costs, how much does a lemon cost in the store? 50 cents? And this etrog's costing $20.
It's not a lemon.
It's a lemon. It's a souped up lemon. You can't even eat that thing. It looks like a nice box. You're not buying the box. So why is a person doing the mitzvah? And the answer is we're doing it because of the... We're sacrificing our money, we're sacrificing our lives, we're sacrificing the love of God. For love of God, that's it. So a person's whole being is tied up in that mitzvah. It's amazing. But when you hold it together, you feel that energy, you feel that spark, you feel that energy. I'm serving God with this, and I'm imagining Hashem's going to bless the whole rain, which causes these things to grow. That's what we pray for. We pray for rain. Besides specific mitzvot meditations, the meditations that focus on Hashem as the only reality in the world. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad. God is one. What do you mean God is one? Everything is God. Everything is inside God. Everything is unity, which you can't see. It's very hard to see for a human being. Why? If we could see this, it would ruin our free choice. If we could see God everywhere we go, everything is part of God, it would ruin our free choice. So it's very hard. That's the constriction. That's the constriction which the Nefesh HaHaim says, the constriction's in our brains. We cannot even think about such a thing that everything is one. We see pieces. Our brains cannot exist with thinking one. We have tried to train the brain that there's God everywhere. God is everywhere. And that's the meditation. En od milvado. Right? Where do we see this? It's in the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Atah Rita Ladat. We sing this when we take out the Sefer Torah on Shabbat. Atah Rita Ladat, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim. That God is a God. Hashem Hu Elokim. Hashemai Ma V'Arav Mitachat. Enod. There's no one else. Nothing else. There's nothing else. There's nothing. Apart from Hashem, there's nothing. In the heaven and the earth, there's nothing. Enod. Enod Mivadu. There's nothing apart from God. It's hard to understand that. Hard. But it's a meditation. A person's going to try and meditate on this. My son-in-law was telling me when he's going through the border between Canada and America, he always thinks, Enom Vador. It's a segula for getting through. It's a segula. I mean, I'm saying. I'm just saying, sometimes they can delay you, hold your questions, they take you out, search the car. They can do whatever they want. I was going once for a Shabbaton from Vancouver to Seattle. And I had three guys, all singles. They're all very strange fellows, you know. Because they're single, you know. So this guy has this bag, and this guy has his story, and this guy has his story, and they say, okay, get out. But it's Friday. We have to go for Ramadan. We need to be in Seattle by sundown. He says, don't worry, I'll get you there. We'll get you there, don't worry. Just stay here, talk, answer questions. They kept us. So they can do whatever they want. So the segula is, Enol Mivado. God is in charge. It's a very important segula. Bezrat Hashem should work for every Jew who thinks Enol Mivado. It's a segula that only God is in control. God is in control. Or the other is to think of Hashem's infinite greatness. Ribono Shel Olam, Hashem is the master of the world. What's his name? Was talking about on Shabbat. What's his name? Bonzen. Huh? Adin. About not to curse God's name. But more than that is the Kavanah on God's name. What is God's name? Hashem Yudkevav, okay? You have to think, Hayah, whoever, yeah, he is and was and is, will be. He is above time. When you say God's name, you think he's above time. And he's the master of the whole world. Above time is, what do you mean he's above time? No concept. Human beings can't even grasp the concept of being above time. So the question is, well, how come God doesn't change? And the answer is, time doesn't affect God. He's above time. Time doesn't affect him. He doesn't get old. He doesn't get young. That's the children's question. Where did God come from? Who created God? And the answer is, God was always here. What do you mean God was always here? They can't understand it. Because they don't understand the thing. It's very hard to understand. It's above time means there's no time. There's no beginning, no end. Above time. God is everywhere. God is all-powerful. God is above time. God is endless. That's why the Kabbalistic name for God is Ein Sof. There's no end. It's infinite. He's infinite always. Infinite in time, infinite in place, infinite in structure. It's hard to imagine. We can't even imagine. And he's not material. Because if he's material, he's finite. You can't make a shape of God. You can't say God is material. God is everywhere. Hard to imagine. So there's a meditation. Enol Mivado, Ribono Shel Olam, the Ein Sof Baruch Hu. There's no end. Master of the world. There's no one except for God. It's hard to meditate. It's very important to meditate on these things. And especially a person in trouble. A person in hospital. You do a lot of meditation. There's nothing else to do. You're stuck. What do you meditate? So you can meditate on different things. A person can't go to sleep. So there's a set of counting sheep. Meditate in Hashem's name, you'd give up. Okay. All of a sudden you'll see you'll go to sleep. Because the inside doesn't want you to meditate by Hashem's name. Make sure you sleep. Person has nothing to do, the inside says, it's fine. Doesn't need any help. Person wants to serve God. There's a famous story Chavetz Chaim says. A guy came to me and said, Rabbi, he says, tell me what's going on. When my father owned the store, it was full of people and he was selling and selling and selling. And I got the store, he passed away, I got the store, and now it's dead. So tell me, he says, what was your father doing when he was in the store? My father, he was a righteous person, he had a book in front of him trying to learn, and the people were so many people, they wouldn't let him learn. But so he said, what do you do? He said, I read a newspaper. Okay, so that's the reason. So when your father's learning, the Yitzhak doesn't want him to learn, he sends a lot of people to him to the store. You are reading a newspaper. He says, I don't want to trouble him. He's fine. He's not doing a mitzvah. It's interesting. It's reverse psychology. It's amazing. So it's a good thing to... Unfortunately, the Yisrael has many different devices to keep a person busy. Unfortunately, it's tragic. It's tragic. That's the way it is. And that's why we get reward. We get reward because we fight the Yisrael. Everyone has to leave. Can you imagine? You come. Busy season is 7 o'clock at night. And people come and they make the minyan. It's a terrific mitzvah. It's a terrific mitzvah. Person can be with their families, with their wives. Their wife is amazing. Let her husband go. It's hard to leave your husband go. You hardly see the guy. you need this favor, you need this, you need that. It's very hard. So it's a big zechut for the women. It's a big zechut for the men, because there's so many things we can do. We can have lunch and dinner, and we can have enjoying ourselves. You go to the street corners, pedos over here, you'll see the places full of people sitting outside, look like they're enjoying themselves and relaxing, having beer and wine, and who knows what else to do. But also talking and chatting. They're relaxing. You have to relax. So what do you do? Learning Torah. Learning Torah is a big zechut. Tremendous zechut. Tremendous. Tremendous zechut. And the more a person has the yetzer hara, and the more they conquer it, the bigger the merit is. The much bigger the merit is. And it says, Shalom, shalom, l'arachov v'l'akarov, amar Hashem. What the Yeshayahu says. He said, peace, peace to those who are far and those who are near, says Hashem. So who do you say peace to first? Who do you greet first? The person who came from far away, the person who came from close by? The answer is to say peace to someone who came from far away first. Who is that? The Baal Teshuvah. Baal Teshuvah came from far away. He's changing his whole lifestyle. Gear even more so. Change your whole lifestyle. Coming from far away, becoming a Jew. Wow. Hashem says, peace. Who's Hashem going to greet first in the Shemaim? First the convert, then the Baal Teshuvah. And then the FFP. Be last. Guys, it's terrible. But what's wrong? It's not my fault. Yeah, but you didn't have so much to test. Come on, let's face facts. You were raised in the right way. You went to the yeshivot. You had the right education. As long as you stayed on the path, you're fine. But the guy was strayed, and the guy came back, and the guy came from nowhere. So it's a very big zechut, big merit. To get anything that draws a person closer to Hashem, makes contact with Hashem, terrific mitzvah. Terrific mitzvah. Terrific. And that's what meditation is all about. The whole purpose of meditation is to contact the mind with God. We're going to talk about it. We have a lot to talk about. Really, this is an amazing sefer. This sefer is so fantastic. So whereas some see detachment of the physical from the world, to detach yourself from the world, you want to be a monk in a monastery. Is that the Jewish way? The answer is no. Jews need to use the physicality to raise it to a higher level. If I don't eat, imagine. There's a mitzvah to eat double on Erev Yom Kippur. You know that? Mitzvah to eat double on Erev Yom Kippur. Why? Because it says, you will fast and the night on the 9th and the 10th, it says. On the 9th day of the month, you will, in the evening, you will start fasting to the 10th day. 2 days? Tisha B'Av is not Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is from the rabbis. So on the Torah. Torah says you will fast on the 9th and the 10th. So Gemara says, how can you fast 9th and 10th? Ah, the eating on the 9th is like the equivalent of fasting on the 10th. Because you're eating in order to fast, it counts as a fast. Arizal says, I'll tell you why. It's a mitzvah to eat on the 9th. Because when you eat, you're doing tikkunim that you can't do when you're fasting. You're making tikkunim on the physical world that you cannot do through fasting. You can only fix certain things by eating. It's amazing. You're raising sparks that you can't do when you're fasting. You're using them. It's an amazing concept that when you're eating, you're fixing the sparks in the food. We don't know what's inside the food. That's why you have to make a bracha, because it's dangerous. Food is dangerous. It could be poison. Spiritual poison, not physical poison. We don't know whose souls are in the food, who's this in the food. Oh, what's going on? We have no concept. There's a book, Rabbi Yehuda Fatai. I'm going to talk about it on Shabbat. Is his Yahrzeit. We have a Suda Shlishit over here, very, very special Suda Shlishit for you, right? In memory of Rabbi Yehuda Fataya. He wrote a book called Neshamot Mesaprot. Oh boy. The souls that are talking. Because he had a big thing with souls. He knew whose soul is here, how to fix them. We have to talk about it. But it's amazing, amazing concept. Amazing concept that there's souls in the food. And if you don't eat the food, you can't fix it. So if you're fasting, you can't fix food. So what happens? You have to eat more on the next day. You got to make it up by eating more. Every Yom Kippur, we eat more. To fix the fact that we can't eat on Yom Kippur. We can't make the tikkunim. I can't remember what he says. He says something very interesting, that some people don't need to fast. Because they're making tikkunim by fast. I can't remember. Everyone fasts. Obviously, the halakha is like that. You can't change the halakha. We're just giving a svara why some people don't need to fast. Going to logic. Because they don't need that tikkun. That tikkun's done already. I can't remember if it's the women or something. I can't remember that result. I loved it. I can't remember what it was. It was very fascinating. So, whereas some people say, refrain, abstain from the world. Obviously, we have to abstain from certain parts of the world, like, say, a mixed beach. You have to abstain. You can't go to a mixed swimming pool. Nakedness, you can't. You got to stay in certain places. But to abstain from the world completely, that's not a Jewish concept. We have to be in the world. Why? And, you know, it's interesting because the Lubavitcher Rebbe was very big in that. The guy is a professor. We had a guy in Amshul who became Baal Teshuva. He was an engineer. He encouraged him to go and become a doctor of engineering. He wants to be a rabbi. I said, I don't want to go to college. I want to go to yeshiva. Okay. No, finish your college education. You're going to have more impact on people when you have the DR in front of your name. So he became a top engineer, and he was very big in the solar industry. Many years ago, he's one of the founders of the solar industry in this country. Dr. Hanoka, he was an old-time member of the shul, and he started a company, and became very wealthy, put on the stock exchange, but a solar company. Amazing. Why? Because the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, no, I want you to continue in your path because you're going to make tikkunim in the world. That's a very concept. It's a very Kabbalistic concept. So in other words, it's not through detachment from the world, it's being involved in the world and fixing the sparks of the world. It's a very, very Kabbalistic concept. So when you involve yourself in the world through service of Hashem, you uplift the world. Look at all the forefathers. They're shepherds. How are they fixing the world with shepherds? And the answer is they're thinking of other things when they're shepherding the sheep, and they're thinking about other things. So uplifting the world through speech, through thoughts, through actions, through eating, allowing God to be felt in the world. And that's the difference between Jewish meditation and that of other cultures. It's involvement in the world, actualizing the world's potential and turning it into an abode for God, where man can walk with God as Adam did before the sin. Imagine, Adam Rishon and God had a very close connection. Imagine, there's no one else around. Think about it. Adam and Hashem. Hashem talks to Adam, Adam talks to Hashem, Hashem talks to Adam. What, can you imagine what kind of relationship that was? The Creator and the created are one. Like father and son walking down the road. Imagine. And then something happened, it split. It smashed. The whole system smashed. Adam said. So we have to try and bring that back. How do you do that? So what do you have? You walk down the street, talk to God. He doesn't trouble us, he doesn't talk back. Till you get to a certain point. Hopefully, but that's a Navi. Navi gets to the point of a person's Ruach Kodesh. Starts getting to the point where they start getting messages. And they hear the Bat Kol, which is a part of Ruach Kodesh. You hear the voice in your head, the Bat Kol. Gemara says, you used to hear Bat Kol. What's a Bat Kol? An echo of a voice. So that's the closest we can get today, is hear a Bat Kol. Most people don't hear Bat Kols. If they do, they're probably in the lunatic asylums. I hear a voice. I heard a voice today. If you do hear a Bat Kol, never tell anyone. I think you're nuts. Not even your voice. Oh, gosh. I heard voices today. Yeah, okay. You're seeing things. You're hearing things. Okay. So Judaism says, no, you don't have to withdraw from the world. In fact, use the world. Use the world. Feel God through the world because God, Hashem is everywhere. You go to the zoo, see. I was at the petting zoo. I mean, I took my grandchildren. My grandchildren wouldn't hear. I would go. My grandchildren, I take them to the petting zoo in Johnson's Park. You see, amazing. Each chicken is so different. I can't believe it. The colors and the variety of the. It's wild. Hundreds of varieties of chickens. Hundreds of breeds. There's 11 billion chickens in the world. Two for each person. Imagine, each person had two chickens a day, finished the chickens. Luckily, we have one piece here, one piece there. Exactly, a whole chicken. Okay. So it's amazing. You see all the different varieties of animals Hashem created. How each one's so different. And it's so, it's like an emu. I don't know what it is, emu. I mean, they're so different. They're so different creatures Hashem created. But I said, look, how did Hashem design? Then I was in the rose garden. There's a beautiful rose garden in Colonial Park in Somerset. You got to go see the rose garden. It's too late. It's a bit late now because the roses are, it's really not the season. You got to go in June, July. You see the varieties of roses and you see the, they have a, what's it called? Which other garden they have over there? Herb garden. It's all the different herbs. Think about the design of each one. How long did it take Hashem to design each plant? Each plant is a whole design, the system and the colors and the shape. Can you imagine, the designers would take years to design something like that. Mm-hmm. And Hashem just... because each plant represents something in the world above, which are already there, and they're just coming down into the physical form of the thing is coming down into this world. Each animal represents something in the world above. Talk about Chayot HaKodesh, But the shape over here is like the shape over there. In a physical form. It comes down a physical form. So what is man? Imagine if man is the top of this world, what does he represent from the worlds above? Even higher. The highest life form of the world above is a shape down here. Amazing. So we have to get back to what we were. That's Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon was like, I don't know where he was. He's one of the top dimensions. He's one of the Beria, or Bria. It's a different dimension. And he crashed into this world. We have to try and elevate ourselves back to that. That's our role model, Adam Rishon. So Jewish meditation sees actions through the performance of mitzvot as essential. You can't just withdraw to the world and just meditate. You have to eat, you have to drink, you have to work, you have to do something. Because everything you do has a tikkun in it. If you're doing L'Shem Shemayim, massive tikkun. You're building a house, and I mean, you're thinking about, we're going to talk about it in Parashat Ki Tetzé. There's a whole sequence of mitzvot over there. So, okay. So the exercises in this book, which we're going to talk about, is revolve around the fundamental precept of cleaving to Hashem. I don't know if you noticed, in yesterday's Parasha, which was 2 days ago already, Parashat Ekev, ends off in Shvi, in Pasuk Kaf Bet, it says, V'alachtem b'drachav, you walk in God's ways. Right? Right? Walk in God's ways and cling to Him. How do you cling to God? You have to cleave to Hashem. And the answer is, how do you cleave to God? There's different ways. One says, marry your daughter off to the Talmid Chacham, do business with the Talmid Chacham. Cling to someone who is close to God. How do you cling to God? You can't cling to God. Cling to someone who is close to God. Cling to someone who has God in his mind. But if you can have God in your own mind, then you're clinging to God directly. Well, you don't need to cling to someone else. So our objective is connection to God. It's not just meditation for the sake of meditating. I want to stay calm through the day, so I'm going to meditate. No. Our Jewish meditation is, I meditate in order to connect to Hashem. I want to connect my mind. I want to plug into the power of Hashem. I want to plug myself into Hashem. It's so hard to do. It's so hard to stay like that. You can do it, but it's hard because you've got to go to the world. How you plug yourself into God when you have to do things? You have to work on your computer. You've got to do produce reports. You have deadlines. You have to sell houses. You have to do things. Yeah, you've got to plug yourself into Hashem. So the answer is, well, you need Siyat HaShemai all the time. Pray to Hashem before you do something. Hashem, help me. It's so hard. It's so hard, I tell you. It's hard to be close to Hashem all the time. So our focus is a close and personal one. So that's why it's good to be with a child. And you'll see what it's like. The child comes. Daddy, Daddy. Clings to you. We have to be like that. That's what it means to cling to Hashem. He's our father. Daddy, help me. Daddy, I'm in trouble. Please help me. Or whatever. Trouble is when people are not in trouble, they don't cling to Hashem. So at least when they're in trouble, use it. Use that trouble to cling to Hashem. Use the simcha of an occasion to say, thank you, Hashem. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you. I love you. Thank you so much. Cleave to Hashem. So that's what meditation is all about. Meditation is using a mitzvah as a board, jumping board. It's a trampoline to climb to Hashem. Using it as a ladder to climb to Hashem. Using opportunities of prayer. It's so hard to focus just in tefillah. And people can say, I prayed one tefillah in my life with kavanah from the beginning to end. Some people can say that. Halavai, you can just learn the first paragraph. Some people can say, I did every time I pray, the first paragraph, at least I do kavanah. And if you can do modim as well with kavanah, that's according to Shulchan Aruch, le'atchila. Ideally, you got to pray the whole thing with kavanah. But at least, b'diavad, you can do the first paragraph. And modim. And people can say, I do the first paragraph of Modim with Kavanah. That became like a lechatila today. But the avad is no Kavanah. And even then you got to pray. According to Rambam, you don't have to pray. Rambam says, you go on a journey and you have in your mind, you can't think, you can't pray. 3 days after the journey, don't pray. And in that case, we will never pray. And people will pray today. So Shukana is more. Rambam was already, how many years? 900 years ago. So that was a long time ago. People had Kavanah. Shulchan already, in Shulchan Aruch's time already, it was much less Kavanah, so he was much more lenient. You can see how the generations already went down. In terms of, can you imagine how much they could focus in those days? So, and Rambam was 1,000 years after the Prophet, so can you imagine 1,000 years before how much they could focus? They knew the whole Torah by heart. Mm-hmm. Or law. Everything's oral. So they write the Mishnah down. Everything's oral. All these rabbis do everything. Amazing. They don't even know the words. They knew what it meant. So even passive meditation, the object of meditation influences the meditator. You meditate on a flower. You look at a flower and just think about the flower, the color, the shape, the texture, this and that. You meditate on the flower, it affects you somehow. You meditate on Hashem, Hashem also should affect you. So our focus is a close and personal one God, provider of all who seek Him, made a covenant with Israel. And if you want to use holy objects to meditate on, they are directly connected with God's will. So mitzvah Torah, one looks at the Torah and meditates on the Torah, connected to Hashem. Mitzvot, connected to Hashem. So it's interesting that that's the purpose of the mitzvot, that's the purpose of the Torah, is to help us get closer. So a person learns the Torah, doesn't get closer to Hashem. He goes to college and he learns a course in Torah study. But it's not Torah study, it's like academic study of the Talmud. So where's it going to get a person? I talked to a guy, he said, I learned Kabbalah in school, in Rutgers. I took a course in Kabbalah. Now the guy teaching, he doesn't have a yarmulke on, he doesn't believe in himself, he doesn't believe in God, forget about everything else, he teaches Kabbalah. It's a cold study. It doesn't bring a person close to God. But there was a guy I knew who became Jewish through that. Through the Kabbalah course taught by a non-religious Jew, and he became Jewish. Not only that, I know a guy who became Jewish in the theological seminary in Princeton. Because they had a course of Kabbalah. I don't know who gave it. I think a Jewish guy came to give it. And he came. It's amazing how just a spark. There's a spark in there. Some people are sensitive to it. And some people are totally desensitized to it. So the guy teaching it was totally desensitized to it, and the guy who was receiving it was totally sensitive to it. Amazing, amazing. So we have to try and be sensitized ourselves to spirituality. It's so hard to sensitize yourself to spirituality. So you come to shul, did you feel something? Did you feel do you feel Hashem's presence in the shul? Because if a person feels Hashem's presence, how can you talk and chat and be a regular behavior? So it's a sign, a person starts talking in the shul, obviously they don't feel that Hashem is here. They're not in awe. They don't feel the awe. And if we don't feel the awe, then that's why a person talks. But it's just, because you talk, you don't feel the awe. It's a vicious cycle. But a person's got to treat the shul as a holy place, then you feel the holiness of the place. If you don't treat the place as a holy place, you're not going to feel the holiness of the place. So it works both ways. So Hashem is the living God. The infinite God of Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. It's such a powerful thing. The opening words of the Shemoneh Esrei is such a powerful thing. Right, Hashem, you're our God. Number one is our God. Elokeinu, you're our God. What does that mean, you're our God? You're our personal God. You're my God. Just like you're a God of Abraham, you're my God. You're my God, a God. That's it. I have nothing else. You're the only power I believe in. You're the only power that can help me. You're the only thing in the world of importance to me. And then God of Abraham. Plus Hashem, I have a long relationship with you through my forefathers, my ancestors. You love my ancestors. What an introduction. You love my ancestors, Hashem. It's not just me you're friendly with. You have a long history with my family. Wow. It's not just my family. It's our family. Our God. It's in the plural. It's Klal Yisrael. And He's the God of the Mount Sinai Revelation. You're the God who gives the Torah. Baruch Atah Hashem, Hashem, Bachar Ban, Mikol Hamim. You chose us from all the nations. You gave us the Torah. So we have to connect ourselves to that God. And that's what meditation is for. God is everywhere and dwells with the seeker. That's what Rambam says, right? The more you think about it, the more He's with you. The less you think about it, the less He's with you. Through acting and thinking along prescribed paths, the seeker's soul becomes one with God. God's partner in perfecting the world. And this personal connection is of prime importance. So try to connect oneself to God. As the process of performing mitzvot, seeking and yearning for God's presence brings down His light, which is God's shefa. The Kabbalists talk about shefa. Shefa, which is God's energy. Energy. We all want energy, boy. But if you have no vessel, the energy is going to go. Without the vessel, it's going to go nowhere. Energy doesn't go anywhere. You have to build yourself into a vessel for God. The person's got to say, you know what, Hashem, I want to serve you, but give me the tools. Give me the energy to serve you. I don't have energy. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Give me the energy to serve you. So that's how you make yourself into a vessel. Rashi says, Rashi is Kabbalist. Rashi, he says, the Avod with the Merkava of the Shekhinah. The He quotes the Midrash. The forefathers were a chariot for the Shekhinah. They were the vehicle to bring God into the world. They were a chariot for the Shekhinah's presence. And that's the highest level. To be a chariot for the Shekhinah. To bring down His light. Where is the light of... How do we attach ourselves to the light of Hashem? Where is the light of Hashem in ourselves? Inside me, where is the light of Hashem? And the answer is, the light of my soul is Hashem. David Ori, right? Hashem has to say, during the 40 days, God says, you are my light, Hashem. The light of my soul is Hashem. Where does my soul come from? The source is Hashem. The higher parts of the soul is, that's it. If you connect yourself to the higher part of the soul, you connect yourself to Hashem. Direct connection. We all have direct connections, which unfortunately sometimes we sever. That's called karet. So a seeker of God becomes a vessel to Hashem's will, a conduit to His light. Thus says the Midrash. Hashem, we are the Hashem's children. We're Hashem's children. You're Hashem's child. Tell Hashem, you're my God. You're my Father, Hashem. Avinu Shebashamayim. Rabbi Akiva says no one was answered except for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva started praying for rain. What was it he used? Avinu Malkenu. Our Father, our King. We use those words in the high holidays. Avinu Malkenu. So once you say the word Father, Hashem, imagine you call someone your father, his heart melts already. Daddy, Daddy. Ah, those words kill you. Abba, Abba. You say Abba? You just turn the spark on. You said, Daddy, you turn the spark on. Avinu, you said, Avinu. Hashem says, if I'm your father, I'm here. If I'm your father, I'm here. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll all be like that. We're going to talk about tomorrow, next week, Bezrat Hashem, the layers of consciousness. Oh, that's, we're getting really deep into the psychology of our meditation next week. Bezrat Hashem.